did. We'll get to that shortly.
And welcome back to another episode, episode 6 of the Golf Days Australia podcast, broadcasting to Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Anchor, plenty more. Remember to hit that follow button and give us a 5-star review. It'd be really, really awesome. We've got heaps to talk about tonight. My man JT couldn't get it cranking on day 4, unfortunately, but my other man, Morikawa, happened to do so on a 3-hole playoff, which was, kind of cool to watch. But we've got a massive announcement to make towards the end of this podcast too. So if you're tuning in, stay through to the end of this podcast because we have a huge announcement to make. Nate, Amy, welcome, guys. Great to have you back.
Hello. Good to be here. Awesome. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, big week. Big week. Tiger and Bryson are back. Got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, we do. So let's get into this for a minute. We've got something, I think, Amy, you'd like to make mention of something that's happening very soon.
Yes, my golf day is officially back on, which I'm very, very excited about. If anyone didn't know, I was supposed to have a golf day back in April, which obviously had to be postponed, like most things recently. And it was just to raise some funds for when I head back over to Europe to play. Obviously, it's a very expensive exercise, although, you hope to make money, but it's expensive to, to kind of start even just getting over there in itself. So, my golf day is back on 30th of July at the Glades, which is a beautiful golf course. If you haven't played, definitely should get along and play. It's going to be a really fun day. Ambrose format, so you don't even need a handicap. It's just a bit of fun, lots of prizes, auction items, everything, a clinic on the day from a tour winner, so you can't get that too many other places. And it really will make quite a big difference to kind of how far I get along my season. So hopefully some people can jump on and come and play. And if you're due for a holiday, then get up to the Gold Coast if you're allowed, if you're not in a hotspot, and come play. It's going to be really good. I'm very excited for it.
How do they get in touch? How do they play?
So if you want to book in, I'll probably put the link in even just the comments on our page. But otherwise, head to my Facebook, my Instagram, kind of any of my social media. It's pinned at the top or in my bio. Other than that, just send me a message and I will happily send it on to you. And it's pretty simple. Just click the link and buy the tickets then and there, and then just come along on the 30th.
Jealous. Fantastic. I wish I could get up.
Yeah, so do I. I'd love to get up and play at the Glades. I've heard it's really, really nice up there. So, get amongst it, guys. Get involved. And if you're up in Queensland, support our girl Amy, and it'll help her get a long way with her career. So, looking forward to seeing what happens on the day, Amy, as well. So keep us tuned on how it goes and how much you raise as well. So that'll be great to be able to share with our supporters as well. So, okay. All things work day. A lot happened over the weekend. I know I certainly enjoyed it from a tipping perspective. I had a decent run in the tips. I couldn't quite get the bickies, but I had a decent run. How did you go, Nate?
Look, I picked one guy that made the cut. So Ricky Fowler did all right. My other three, maybe not so much, but look, you can't win them all. And I think if you look back at my tipping average, it's not too bad in the past. I've done well in the past, and you got to have a week off every now and then. So anyways, we'll get back at it next week.
That was you.
A week, a week off of beefcake, and I don't know what to do. I'm like treading water. So
he didn't win the week before though.
No, but I picked every win. That's all that counts.
Yeah, all good. Going into the tips again, so just to remind everyone who I tipped, so it was Justin Thomas, Colin Morikawa, were the guys I tipped in the podcast last week. And not only did those guys come first and second, but they were in a playoff, 3-hole playoff. It was an awesome way to finish this event. given that they're actually going to be staying there for the following week as well, because you actually had a few of the players following them around during the playoff as well, which was cool to watch. Ryan Dent's man, Streels, he was out there having a bit of a watch. G'day, Ryan. I know you're going to love that little jab. But, yeah, he was out there watching. Ricky Fowler, they were around the around Greenside having a couple of coldies, which was pretty cool. But, yeah, I had all four of my tips in the GDA tipping comp made the cut, which was great, but I still didn't win. And I was the only one to have all four playing on Sunday, and I still didn't win. Poor old Cam Champ just had a shocker. Absolutely had a shocker over the weekend. So, mate, unfortunately, you're going to get the flick this week. I'm not going to back that up. Unfortunately. So speaking of backing up, Matt Wolf couldn't back up a solid performance at Rocket Mortgage and missed the cut going five over on Thursday and Friday.
Yeah, so a few big names that missed the cut, you know, Koepka, Justin Rose, there was quite a few. So, yeah, Wolf couldn't get it done. But it's going to be real interesting seeing them go back-to-back at this course. It's going to be interesting to see if those players that are up the top this week are going to find themselves up there again, how much of an advantage that will play compared to those that haven't played this week. They're going to try and set up the course differently. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great event again. JT... you know, leading going into that last round, bogey free, and then bogeys holes two and three on Sunday, and then, you know, gets it back all of a sudden. They were back and forwards. Hovland and Morikawa were throwing shots at each other, and JT then come back at him. He eagles 15, and you think he's good, and he bogeys 16 and 18, and then it goes to an incredible playoff.
Yeah, I absolutely thought that he'd had it after that eagle on 15. I thought that was just the icing moment where he's just gone, bang, here you go. I'm just going to eagle this one and off we go and wrap this one up. But, yeah, he just unfortunately shit the bed and couldn't pull it out. So then, yeah, we went off to a couple of playoff holes. He holes an absolute pearler. To stay alive, I suppose, in the playoff. And they go down 18 twice, and then down the last playoff hole, what was it, 10 or 14? I can't remember which one it was, but he 10. Absolutely stymies himself right behind a pencil tree, and he had absolutely no shot out. I mean, I'm sure if you're Bryson, you probably would have taken a 9-iron and probably chopped the tree down anyway.
Well,
his first shot over. But if he was stymied behind a tree, I reckon he'd take an 9-iron out, have a go at the ball anyway, and probably just chop the tree down. So, the old Axeman Bryson. One of the interesting ones I saw, and you had a bit of a go a couple of weeks ago, Nate, about Jason Day and wanting him to pick up his game as well. I think he heard you. He was on the first page of the leaderboard once again. So, top of the Aussies.
Yeah, he must have, word must have got over there that we were talking about him, a bit worried about his game, and obviously had a great result, top 10, top of the Aussies. Matt Jones, again, not too far away. He shaved the beard. He's just got this weird long hair, mullety thing happening at the back. But Matt Jones had another good result. But, good to see Jason Day up there. It's good to see that he's still got it and can put four rounds together and get it, a top 10. And we'll see how he goes this week backing it up, and if he's back, can back it up. And, it'll be interesting.
We had a comment from one of our group followers during the week, or during the rounds, I think Saturday's round. He had a bit of a dig at Patrick Reed's outfit for the day. I still think that Patrick Reed looks like his stylist works in the plus size section of Lowe's. No matter what he wears, he just looks like he's a bit of a slob the whole way around. Yeah, he could have, I reckon he could have Bryson's conditioning coach, right? And Adam Scott's stylist, and still not come out looking the goods.
And still look like a bag of milk. You still look like a bag of milk that you want to punch.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Right behind Bryson, I think, is Patrick Reed's punchable face. Hopefully we don't get to see too much of him in the upcoming weekend. I'm looking forward to seeing a bit of Tiger on TV. How about you, Amy?
Yeah. Yes, I love Tiger so much. I can't wait to see Tiger back. I think it'll be interesting. Everyone's like, you know, on Twitter, just trying to find some kind of glimpse of how he's going and wants to know how his back is and how his knee is and how he's hitting it. And I don't know, look positive from what, you know, what we have seen. But yeah, I hope he comes back with a bang because I'm a bit Tiger obsessed as well.
I've seen a few videos on Golf TV of him practicing in his own yard. I call it a yard. It's, yeah, it's phenomenal. Yeah.
I wish my yard looked like that.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So, yeah, a few videos of him practicing. He was talking about his son's game as well and how it reminds him of himself when he was that young. And he said he wishes he had that move. But yeah. You know, ages caught up with him, and he just doesn't have that move anymore. And he's got to make golf work for him with his condition as he ages. So that were really cool highlights to just see on Golf TV as well.
I love Tiger. I can't wait to see him back. I know we're going to discuss it a bit later, but I just want to quickly jump back to that first playoff hole at the Workday. JT drops this bomb from 50 feet and yells, like makes this massive roar, and there's no crowd there. Of course, there's a bit of a cheer in that, but could you imagine the roar that would have been there if that was full packed to the stands crowd? I felt like it was incredible to watch that hole, but it was just lacked that punch. We noticed that it's different without the crowd not being there, and that was one of those moments that would have gone down in history with the crowd behind. And then Morikawa to answer back with his own 20 odd footer, which in the end it went in easier and more casually than his 11 inch putt that he had on the 72nd hole to make the playoff. But yeah, just the incredible first hole, and it was just so disappointing, I guess, to just not have the crowd there to really eat that up on the day. It was different. It was cool to hear JT's roar because he got after it when that putt went in. But yeah, just that lackluster kind of feeling again with no crowd there.
You definitely do get to hear a player roar or really much after they hole a putt like that. But I agree. Like the putt that Morikawa backed up that with was almost, well, I don't know, I'd say more impressive, but under the circumstances it was massive as well. And then they both just sort of walked up the green and went back to the tee. It was strange, but that was
under the circumstances. I think if we go back a few weeks, under the circumstances, yeah, absolutely. He iced it with the putter. I mean, that putt he had on the 72nd hole, it ran around the cup a couple of times, and I think it almost got the better of him. But yeah, absolutely. He's turned that around. Obviously took it out.
We just spoke about that putt, Amy and I, before we jumped on air, about that putt on the 72nd hole. And like Amy said, if he had missed that putt again, it would have become a thing. Like it was, if he missed another short putt, a crucial putt, at the death of a tournament, I really think it could have affected long term his game and going forward and being in that situation again. So I'm glad for the kid that it dropped in and he got a chance to shine in the playoff. But if you didn't see his shot on five, the eagle that he made, he was 230 yards out or whatever it was. I think he ended up hitting, I don't know what it was, maybe a five wood or something, but it landed 3 feet from the hole, and it was just one of the most beautiful looking shots you'll ever see.
Absolute bomb. And it was phenomenal. I think there was actually some really cool shots out there during the course of the weekend. Seifert, however you pronounce his name, he hits one into the water, takes his penalty shot, and then he holes out from the fairway to make par. That was phenomenal. I think he was sort of shocked that it had gone in, and high fives his caddy all the same. He was a bit surprised, but you'll take that every day of the week. Absolutely. The PGA have announced something this week, Nate?
Yeah, they just announced today, actually, going on with the about no fans, that they're going to have no fans for the rest of the season. So that's going to include the FedEx, the playoff events, obviously the remaining tournaments. So for this season, no fans. I think they're talking about the first event that could possibly have fans is in the end of September. So yeah, they've announced that today, which is, it's going to be a strange way to finish the season, but you know, in one way, I guess, you know, we've got to be happy that there is golf, but it's going to be strange seeing the FedEx playoffs, these, you know, major championships decided in front of no crowd. It's going to be really interesting.
I think they've done well to even just get events happening, especially the situation in America is pretty dicey, I guess, compared to you know, what we're dealing with. But like, imagine like Tiger at East Lake last year, the scenes there, that's happening now, it's gonna be so weird, and no one would notice it more than Tiger. I mean, he must be just finding it so strange playing tournament golf with no fans.
It's a really good point that you make there. I haven't thought about that, and I haven't thought about Tiger playing in front of no crowd. And they talk about the Tiger effect and the effect that it has on the players that he's playing with, and that the, you know, it ends up being a two-shot advantage or whatever they call it, because of the other players getting overawed about the crowd and everyone following them and shouting for Tiger. So it's going to be really interesting to see him playing with no crowd following him. I'm sure there'll still be a out of the whoever's there at the course, most of them will be there following him, but it's going to be nowhere near what he's used to. So it's going to be a really strange scene, and I'm sure there's going to be some interesting photos coming out of him maybe potentially walking down the 18th hole to win with no crowd around.
I also love when they hole a putter, they hit a good shot and they go to like sort of tip their hat give a wave, and then they're
thank you.
No
one here. That's the Matt Bailey sign off on the podcast. He tips his hat because no one can see him.
JP's been doing that a lot. Compilation, I think, of him like thanking everybody when there's nobody around. And so he seems like a pretty genuine guy and a good guy. And I saw a thing on Twitter with him and Morikawa kind of going back and forth afterwards about, you know, congratulating the other person. Morikawa put his post up with, you know, his milkshake and his trophy from Muirfield. And, you know, JT wrote on there about congratulations and basically looking forward to many more battles with you. So I thought that was really cool. And, yeah, you can see the genuine guy. And hopefully that is something that we see play out quite a bit in the future.
And there was another announcement earlier this week around the Ryder Cup. So that's been put off and it's now going to be on odd number years, so 2021, 2023, etc. So, yeah, it's sad to hear that. But I think what came out was that they really respected having crowds and that crowd reaction in a team event. So it's obviously a little different to the single events, and that Tiger effect definitely comes into play. I think looking back to that for a sec, Tiger this weekend, I think he's going to be still chest puffed out, and I think he'll be getting into his opponents, at least just in his group, obviously. And, you know, if it comes down to Sunday play and he's in contention, he's absolutely going to be in the zone for in his own mind anyway, and he'll probably be putting the pressure on his opponent nonetheless. So yeah, that'll be fun to watch this weekend. Any other thoughts as we head further into the podcast?
No, it was a great one. It's going to be interesting. I mean, Morikawa is now the Workday, you know, Charity Open winner, and there will never be anybody else that takes that off him because it was a one-only event. So interesting the way he set it up, but he's got that title to his name, and he'll always be able to tell his grandkids about how he won that title when there were no fans allowed, no one was allowed there. So yeah, but I think that Ryder Cup was a good call as well. There's no way you can play that Ryder Cup without fans. And it actually used to be in the odd years, but then that got changed when 9/11 happened. So now they've gone back to what it originally was. So that was an interesting thing as well. But yeah, you can't play the Ryder Cup or the President's Cup now without fans. So that's a good call.
Yeah. Having gone to the President's Cup last year, it makes a massive difference, especially when Captain America was coming down and onto the green and having a putt. I think everyone in the crowd willed that putt out, but it went in. So that was when he did the shovel over the shoulder. I had a line. I can't remember what it was, but I had a line that I was going to yell out if you missed the putt. But it was probably something stupid anyway. So we'll move on. Cool. So we've got a few highlights from the Golf Days Australia Advice and Discussion Group to talk to this week. We mentioned it last week around the poll that we put up around the running of a single day event and put a few locations around and where people would prefer it to be. The winner of that was Mid-North Coast in terms of most selected. So fairly large area. So we're going to look at something around there. All the same to do one hopefully very soon. But the other poll that we put up was around what day in the week you guys would like to attend an event. Interesting enough, it was most selected was Sunday, with Saturday obviously a close second and Friday not too far behind as well. So stay tuned on that note. We're going to look at running a day hopefully soon, perhaps in August. I suppose it really has to depend on what's happening with the worldwide pandemic thing that's going on at the moment. Obviously, the Victorians in Melbourne City are in lockdown, and that's looking at spreading further around. So, yeah, we just need to keep a close eye on that one. Yeah, stay tuned. We'll hope to see if we can organise something maybe in mid to late August for somewhere in the mid-North Coast area. Now, we've also got a rundown from our member, Mark Hale, of all our domestic tournaments that are coming up as well. So we'll take you to that now and give you a bit of a listen on what's coming up.
Okay, guys, just a quick update of golf in and around New South Wales at the moment. July's been pretty quiet due to COVID restrictions, but in August it's all opening back up and there's a little double up event. So if you're out and about, go and enjoy yourself and support these clubs in their open days and cup farden events. At the end of July, there's still a few spots at Brankston on the 25th of July and also Singleton on the 26th. There's spots there, but they're filling fast. On the 8th and 9th of August, we have the Cowra Open, which is a 2-day event. The WE Alexander at Waratah in Newcastle, which is also a 2-day event. The Scone Cup, Cowinda Waters Cup, and the Cumberland Cup. That's the weekend of the 8th and 9th of August. And then the following weekend, the 15th and 16th of August, we have the Regional Championships, which are at Cowinda Waters on the Central Coast. That's for Lower North Coast, Hunter District, Newcastle District, and Central Coast District. We also have the Mollymook Open, the Strathfield Bowl, the Jamboree Open down Wollongong Way, and the Yeovil Open out west. On the 22nd and 23rd of August, we have the Asquith Open, Macquarie Links Cup, the Grange Open, Molong Open, and also the Mittagong Open. At the last weekend in August, the 29th and 30th, we have the Goulburn Open, which is a regional qualifier for the New South Wales Open, Tookley Open, Richmond Open, Warragee Links Open, and Condobolin Open, rounding out August. If you're out and about, boys, please support these local clubs, as I said, and keep the info coming on this great golf page. It's awesome. And enjoy yourself and hopefully stay COVID-free.
All right, and thanks, Mark, for sending this through and for all your efforts in the group, mate. You've really gone to a lot of trouble to post up quite regularly with all the events that are happening locally. So it's great to hear of these events getting back up and running, and I look forward to seeing some of the results from that. I'm looking at going up to, or I am going up to the Mid-Amateur that's happening in Tuncurry. I'm going to be caddying for a mate of mine who's going to be contending. So myself, I don't think I could get down to a 12 handicap by then. So I'm just going to nominate myself and jump in for a caddy role. But yeah, appreciate the efforts there, Mark. So thank you. Post of the week, Nate, have you got a post of the week you'd like to talk to?
Oh yeah, mate. I do have a post of the week. you're probably going to think I'm talking you up here, but it's your post. You put a post up about show us the view from your clubhouse. And, you know, it was obviously a beautiful view, I'm guessing, of Gosford.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was beautiful.
With the sun setting and, magic shot there. And it was really cool to see everybody's kind of views from their clubhouse. I think a few people decided to put the view from the clubhouse of maybe their favourite course that they've been to. I think a few people took the time to kind of show off where they've been overseas and all the amazing courses that they've played. But a lot of people showing their club's home view and really cool to see where everyone calls home for their weekend of golf or midweek or wherever it is. And, you know, it's something personally that we don't have a clubhouse at Leeton. We had it knocked down some time ago, and it looks like we're getting another one in the next 12 months, and the plans are there and they're ready to go through. So something we're very excited about. I think a lot of people probably take for granted having a clubhouse and going back to somewhere that maybe looks down the 18th and having a drink and seeing the leaderboard and whatnot. So for us, that'll be a really exciting thing. So looking forward to showing every one of you from our clubhouse when that gets done.
Yeah, I think it was really cool just to get up into the clubhouse. You know, the clubhouse hasn't been open for ages, and it's been open for the last few weeks. But my footy team has been playing every Sunday afternoon pretty much as I'm finishing. So I've been racing home to go watch them. Unfortunately, they haven't been winning. So it was cool to get up in the clubhouse and get amongst the members. It was quite nice to see that sun come out through the back of the clouds. But, thanks, mate. I'll take the kudos there. Post of the week from Nate. I love it.
Yeah, it hurts, but I'll give it to you.
Now, my post of the week is a couple, actually, from this individual. It was Scott Campbell. He put up a couple of posts, one of Cypress Lakes. So if you guys don't know, Scott Campbell does some really cool photography drone work as well. And he put up a post of Cypress Lakes and also Naruma. The shot at Naruma was a really cool bird's eye view of one of the greens. I'm trying to pull it up on my Facebook now, but it was a really cool shot. So if you guys haven't jumped over to his page already, jump over there and have a look. He's got some really cool golfing beautiful pictures. It's nice to see something different than just the run-of-the-mill posts in our page, and they were really beautiful photos.
Yeah, Scotty's got some great photos. I had a previous business that was an aerial photography company, so I'm usually pretty critical of drone photography and whatnot, and I've reached out to Scotty already and told him how good his work is, and his photos are amazing. And I always like, you know, looking at things from a different perspective. And it's a that one of Naruma down there, that hole up against the water, that par three and stuff, it's just beautiful. And seeing it from his eyes and how he's taken it and everything else, it's beautiful. So, some stunning photos that he takes. So keep it up, Scotty, and you can be our drone photographer at our next event, I'm sure.
Love to have you at our next event. It'd be great when we finally get one up and running. Amy, anything notable from yourself in the group this week?
Not that I can think on the top of my head. I definitely enjoyed that. The drone photography, as soon as that came up, I was like, oh, how good that. Beautiful. Golf courses just look so much better from above, you know, if someone's actually knows what they're doing and taking good pictures. And I definitely enjoyed that one.
And he's good with that golden hour. He'll get up obviously pretty early and get there for that sunrise or that sunset. That's where most of his photos are taken. And it's just when it shows off, the course is so good with the undulations and everything else. It's it's awesome to see.
Good. And now, Nate, we got out for a round last week. You, myself, and Bailey, and my little man Jimmy got out there for a round. Amy, we took your advice and went with skins.
Yes.
Yeah, we had a match of skins. Nate, give us a bit of a rundown on what happened on the day.
Should we jump to it? I'm just going to jump to it. Matt Bailey won two skins. That's all we need to know. Steve and I split the pickies for the rest, but Matt Bailey, two skins, one of those which was the 18th, and I think, to be honest, we just felt pretty bad for him and let him have that one on the 18th.
Pity skin.
So... But in saying that, poor old Bales, he squared so many holes and just kind of kept it going and jackpotting and jackpotting. And then Steve just come in and swooped in for the first lot. And then I swooped in on the back nine for, I think, six skins, I think that the biggest one was. So, yeah, poor old Bales. But, yeah, we played up at the Springs Golf Club up there at Peach Ridge. It was a bit of a funny day. We haven't had a really good run with our booking of rounds lately, but we got there for a 12 or 12:16 tee off and get in there, and the kid in there goes, "Oh yeah, we close at 4 o'clock and our gates will be closed, so you'll need to have the carts back by then." And you're like, "Okay, cool." Probably could have told us on the phone. We could have got here a bit early, but anyways, we go, "All right, 3 hours 45, we'll get around in that. That's fine, we're in carts." But then you pull up and you've got a group of three walking in front, then a group of five because you've got two parents and their three kids, which is fine. I'm all for it. But it's just when you're worried about time and you're worried about getting back and whatnot, and then you're sitting behind people, it's probably the number one thing I don't like about golf is anything time related. So that was a bit of a disappointment. And then the other thing, and I know it's the RSA, but when you buy some beers to take onto the course halfway around, and they've got to open every single beer bottle lid because you can't take them out closed, that annoys me as well. But I know it's the RSA, it's what he's doing, but really a golf course should have a license so that you can take
your beers out and crack them when you need them. Down to their liquor license, I think, didn't allow for those to be served without being open. So, as you said, we haven't had a good run between Matt booking the first our first day and not being in comp. On a Saturday morning, and not playing in comp, and then getting up to the Springs and having carts, but having to get them back within 4 hours. Was hoping to get around in 4 hours, but with the groups in front of us, it wasn't really that possible, unfortunately. So but nonetheless, happy to walk away with a squaring in the skins ranks between yourself and I, Nate.
Take Matt Bailey's money anytime. He's got all the money here. So he took his cash and ran. And I got to play on the weekend. I was down in Sydney visiting some family and stuff. So it was good. I got to play with my dad at his course at the Ridge at Menai, Barton Ridge there. Nice golf course down there. And it was fun. We got up early. It was raining. I had three birdies in four holes on the front nine. Thought, how good is golf? And then it started really raining. And then I just fell apart. And I limped home, I think, with 30 points in the end. But always good. I love playing with dad and getting to spend, four, five hours quality time out there on the golf course. So, it was good.
Yeah, nice. I got out myself with Matt. Terrible round again. Came home with 27 points, same as I had the previous week. So wasn't fantastic. Fortunately, our mate, you, John, wasn't able to make it and witness both Matt and I having a terrible round. But we went out with Ryan Dent and got a round in at least. Couldn't play anyway. I was better off the tee, but couldn't hit an approach shot this week to save my life. So hopefully in the next couple of weeks it'll all come together again.
Amy, you've been having some tough days, I see, posting photos and videos of playing the Glades and here and there and everywhere.
Yeah, it's rough, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
Windy day today, and we caught ourselves complaining, or not complaining, but commenting on the weather, and then we thought, hang on, this is like we're wearing t-shirts and it's winter on the Gold Coast, and it was still pretty much perfect. So we've been enjoying ourselves, definitely. Up here on the Goldie, it doesn't get much better.
Yeah, how do you think your game's going anyways?
Pretty good, yeah. I'm working on a few things with my coach at the moment. A couple of things with a physio. It's kind of interesting. I was working on something in my swing and I just couldn't get it. Like, normally, like, my coach will say something, we work on it, and the next week I'm kind of, I've kind of got it, at least it's moving in the right direction, and there's just one sort of area that I'm just not getting, and he's kind of just saying, like, push your shoulder back, and I'm like, my shoulder won't go back. And then we ended up seeing a physio, a guy that he actually coaches, so he came to the range and had a look, and it turns out it's actually more of a physical problem. So Got some exercises from him, and it seems to be moving a bit better now. So there's just so much, you know, that goes into a golf swing. That's you know, it's hard to kind of get a good grip on it all. But no, I feel like I'm moving on better now and hitting it pretty, you know, decently. And hopefully I'm not peaking just yet. Hopefully peaking in, you know, maybe a month or two time would be ideal. But yeah, just playing a lot and mixing it up and enjoying it, enjoying being out there and playing.
Yeah. So what's great on the agenda for you in the coming months?
Well, hopefully, you know, hopefully my golf day goes well and I'll get back over to Europe. Sort of waiting to hear on a couple of events in Sweden. Things haven't really been good there, I think, since it all kicked off, really. In Sweden, they've not done any kind of lockdown or anything. It's a bit of a free-for-all. But, yeah, waiting to hear back. I think 20th of July will kind of know a bit more if they're going ahead or not. Otherwise, everything else seems kind of like a green light. So we'll get back over to Europe playing until till probably the end of the year. There's stuff happening in Spain on the Santander tour, other than the other tours over there. So that's the plan, really, head over there and just get playing until I can't play anymore, basically.
Awesome.
Fingers crossed that'll all go to plan. And yeah, hopefully the golf day you've got coming up raises a lot of money and you can get back over there and start contending again.
Absolutely. Well, there is one thing actually I forgot to mention with my golf day. As we are recording now, there is like 2 days left on the early bird special. So Don't hesitate to book in, everyone. Book in now and you'll get a cheaper rate.
So what have they got till Thursday, Thursday the 16th to get in on the early bird special. So get involved, guys. Yeah, hopefully you can help our girl out. All right, well, moving on from our own games now, a bit of controversy corner. We've got another rant from our man, Double Par. Let's have a bit of a listen of this one.
I don't know why, but I'm worried about this one.
I've secretly listened to this already, so I am looking forward to seeing a bit of the reaction.
Let's see if he can keep it under 5 minutes this time, mate.
G'day, choppers. Double Par back again for another rant. All this talk of that bloody Bryson DeChambeau beefcake bloke that Nate was freaking banging on about last week. Blah, blah, beefcake, blah, blah. Mate, this does nothing for the average Joe Blow golfer. Us middle-aged, rotund golfers want to see more relatable heroes than some beefed-up, buff-haired, French hat-wearing American clown. Bring back the John Daly's. Bring back the Craig Parrys. Bring back the Jared Lyles, the Craig Stadlers, the Mark Leishmans, and the Andrew Beef Johnsons. Yeah, okay, Gary Player, Greg Norman, Tiger Woods. Yeah, they went and won a few tournaments or something, but they didn't have the character and they didn't have the appeal that the John Daly's and the Craig Parrys had. So what I'm saying, people, is that we really need to get back to reality and stop talking about bloody beefcake Bryson DeChambeau and start losing the slim fit golf shirts and appealing to the normal Joe Blow. Bring back some character. But we need a buffy male bloke who can appeal to us fat men. This is Double Par because it sounds better than an eight.
Oh, how good was that?
There you go. I knew it was coming. I knew it was coming. I don't even know how to respond to that. He's winning tournaments, so he doesn't need to change anything. There's always going to be those guys that don't appear the most physically fit. So I love beefcake as well. I do love those. He
really appears as the most physically fit either. I think he's just a beef. Like, he's got a bit of the rotund happening around the front. You know, midriff section. It's not ripped. He's not ripped like Joshy's man, Rory. So, yeah, I think there's a bit of rotund happening for him. And unless
he might look like John Daly in a few more years if he keeps going.
100%. That's right. If he doesn't see, this is the thing. He's doing the weights. He's doing the diet. He's doing the protein shakes. Those other guys, like the Craig Parrys, the John Daly, the Beef Johnson, they're not doing those things, but they've still got an awesome, awesome place in our game. I definitely agree with that. But anyways, I think it's, you know, once he started, I can't believe he'd go with his French hat as well. It's Ben Hogan, mate. Ben Hogan was one of his biggest idols. He found it off in a golf shop when he was 13 or something like that, and wore it, and that was his thing when he was a young kid. So can't have a crack at him for wearing his Ben Hogan hat. It was interesting because I saw him in the Instagram video that he put up just recently. I've seen now that he's got his own logo. He's got it's the outline of his head with that hat on. That video of him just bombing balls in his wherever he's in indoors into the net. But he had a backwards Puma cap on. I was like, oh, he looks different in a normal hat. So, anyways. Bloody double par. What's he going to have for us next week? Who knows?
You're stalking his Instagram, mate.
Who's that? Beefcake? Oh, mate. When that came across there, I had to watch it that many times.
I think one thing I will agree with double par and that post is bring back Jared Lyle. Mate, yeah, I'd love to have him back in the world. Golf would definitely be very different having him around again. But rest in peace, old fella. We've got double pars round of the week over and done. Is there anything in controversy corner we've got to talk to?
No, I don't have too much this week. It was going to be controversial if that bloke yabbered on for 5 minutes, but seeing as he kept it for as close to a minute as possible, then
there was a couple of things I took out of that. I edited that one a little bit and took a couple of things out, so I might share with you the raw version of that one. So double par, mate. Keep the time down a little bit, will you? You tend to waffle on a little. We've got some golf coming up this weekend. We talked about it a little bit earlier, but yes, we've got the Memorial coming up as well. On to that, Tiger's back.
Yeah, we spoke about before our Tiger's back. Just before we jump into it, this weekend's meant to be Open Championship weekend, and it's so crushing to realize that the British Open or the Open Championship should be talking about that now. So that kind of hit me hard today when I realized that. And the Open's one of my favorite, if not my favorite. It's very close to the Masters for me as a major, and I just love watching the Open Championship, and you know, at a different time to all the other events as well. So massive shame that is not on, but in saying that, we have Tiger back. Huge missed opportunity here by the PGA. I don't understand how they haven't paired Bryson and Brooks together.
Yes.
They've paired Brooks up with Tiger and Rory, which obviously super one. I know Joshy, shout out to Joshy. He will be very excited, I'll put it that way, about that grouping, and he'll be very excited to watch that. But I just don't get it. For good TV and for good ratings and everything else, they're big boys. It's not like, you know, there's going to be too much controversy, but you know, you want to see what's going to happen. You want to go to see them, you know, bombing the ball past each other, and throw Tiger in the mix there and there as well, and you never know what you're going to come up with. So I think that's a huge miss. It's all over Twitter. Nobody can understand why they haven't done it. I'm guessing that someone in either camp has maybe prevented it from happening. I don't know, but I just can't understand how the PGA have missed that one. Do you agree, Aim?
Yeah, give the people what they want, I reckon.
100%.
Brooks's jab on Twitter was phenomenal. Oh. I thought it was.
But they've had a bit of a snoush over a decent period of time. It's not just something that's come up in the last month. Like they've had a decent snoush at each other for a while. I think it was Bryson having a go at being short of a six pack, or Brooks being short of a six pack, and then he comes out with his post of his tournament trophies and saying, "Oh yeah, I guess I am a little short of a six pack here," but. they've had a long running stoush. I only hope that we get to Sunday, they are top of the ladder leaderboard, and they're paired up for Sunday's round. That would be, I'd guess, if you're PGA and you're responding to Nate Paul and saying, "Well, mate, you know what's going to happen? We're going to bank on the fact that these two are going to get paired up on Sunday," and wouldn't that be better theatre?
No, you can guarantee it this way. And like Amy said, what he put on Twitter, so if anyone hasn't seen it, he put a GIF up, and it is the most perfect GIF ever, but it was of Kenny Powers, the great Kenny Powers, running at a camera trying to rip it down. So Bryson's just had first, it's two sections here as well. It's the most perfect GIF. But you've got Bryson who had the issue with, yeah, Bryson had the issue with the camera.
It was so specific.
And then also the caption from that TV, it says Kenny Powers confronts steroid allegations. It's ridiculous. It's not directed at him. Well, he hasn't linked anything. There's no comment. All he's done is put that GIF up, and it's just a massive shot at Bryson. And I just, yeah, I can't believe they're not playing together. I really hope it works out and they do play in a group. But if they're playing in like early morning group and they're, you know, nowhere off the lead, like it's not going to be as good as if you had them playing in prime time and everyone knew it was coming up. It's just huge. But that tweet was insane by Brooks. I don't know who in that camp found it, but it was perfect.
Yeah, how did he find that? But then he also went for that woman who works for, I don't know, Golf Channel or some kind of golf media outlet. She came out and said, I can't remember her name, but she said that he should be fined. I think that's disgusting, you know, implying this about one of your colleagues. And then he replied to one of their Instagram post that had a caption this with him kind of face palming, and he said, oh, when you hear an annoying voice and you realize that it's just her kind of thing. No one's safe. Yeah. Don't mess with him.
It was so good. When I saw it, I just fell off. I fell off my chair. I could not believe that he posted it. So I thought, brilliant. This is going to even lead more into this week than playing together. But no, they haven't. They've put Bryson with Morikawa and Patrick Cantlay. So they'll probably take about 8.5 hours to finish their round between Bryson and Cantlay. I feel so sorry for Morikawa being squeezed up in between those two. But, yeah, look, it should be a good one having Tiger back and Tiger Brooks and Rory still going to be an insane group to watch. And, yeah, it should be another good tournament at Muirfield.
Tips, what do you reckon, Nate?
Well, I'll go through the power rankings that the PGA have put out for this week's event. So this is not worldwide rankings. This is the power rankings on form and everything else. So you've got 10 down. So Xander Shoffley, then you've got Ian Poults, Rory at 8. Josh, you won't be happy at that. Victor Hovland, 7. Webb Simpson, 6. Patrick Cantlay, 5. DJ at 4, JT at 3, Morikawa at 2, and Bryson DeChambeau at 1. So, look, going with the power rankings as well, obviously I'm gonna pick Bryson to win this week. I'm a little bit worried that he didn't play last week, and obviously the others have kind of got that up on him, but hopefully he was just fine-tuning that wedge game, and he'll get it right. But if not, I think it could be the other slow bloke in his group, Pat Cantlay. He wasn't too far away, and he plays well at that course. So I think it might suit him even better this week.
I think the course is going to play pretty different. I think the greens are going to be a lot slicker and faster. So I do think that those that may have played well this week may not necessarily bode well in the following week, regardless of playing well at the course. But in saying that, I'm actually going to go with the one of the other pairings that we haven't mentioned here is Justin Thomas, Xander Schauffele, and Dustin Johnson. I'm actually going to throw them three into my four, and I'm not sure who I'll go with my fourth just at the moment. Maybe the creepy uncle, Phil Mickelson, might throw him in there at some stage. But
creepy uncle. I'm hoping we don't even hear about that guy the whole week. He's playing with Justin Rose and Shane Lowry. I feel bad for those guys as well. But anyways, yeah, old Phil.
But yeah, gonna go with JT. I think obviously he didn't get the bickies on last week, so he'll be burning. Hopefully he can get back out there and continue the form. And yeah, he was nailing that putt from 50 feet. So I think if he's going to have any confidence going to a weekend of golf, it's going to be this one. So
if he hits it in the same place this weekend on the fourth round, that'll be 6 feet from the pin. Yeah, he was up there. That's the traditional Sunday pin up there. So I think JT will bounce back pretty well as well. He won't like losing that. He'll learn from it, and he's experienced enough to come back from that one.
Absolutely. I think Xander's also burning a little bit from earlier in the season, losing quite tightly as well. So I think he will burn for this weekend too. And Dustin Johnson's always thereabouts. You asked the question, I think it was last week, Nate, around whether we thought Bryson was number one golfer in the world. Dustin Johnson, we didn't really give him a rap in that conversation, but he's now won the same amount of tournaments and top number of PGA tournaments as Tiger since 2008. So,
Another stat that talked about DJ and what he's won up to now. And if you look at Tiger at the same age, Tiger, I think, had won 68 titles and 12 majors. Don't count me on that, but it was something ridiculous number when we're talking about DJ at the same stage. He was just another level above with those numbers. Yeah. I heard it the other day. Don't quote me on it, but it would have been something similar to that. Who are you picking this week?
Well, I think I saw another stat about DJ saying that he has now won the same amount of PGA titles as Greg Norman won.
Yes. Yeah.
Which I don't think you can really compare. Like, Greg Norman was quite a worldly golfer compared to DJ.
Do you think that's because we're Australian?
Yeah. Definitely.
Like, just that Aussie effect that Greg had on and the Shark had on, and obviously he had a lot of second places and should have had a better record than he did, but it's a pretty stunning stat to hear about that DJ's got the same wins as the Shark.
Yeah, well, I haven't looked at I didn't see how many sort of total wins he's had, but he's got, you know, European Tour wins and would say, like, you know, in Asia, and I think he played a few in Japan or something. So, like, Americans don't generally like to travel outside of their bubble. I don't know that you can really compare them, but it was, you know, probably a pretty surprising figure for people to see comparing him to Greg Norman and the same amount of PGA wins. It seems pretty crazy.
So, have you got him to win this week?
I mean, there's so many people who could just be firing this week, but right. I mean, yeah, so it could be anyone, but I mean, you never ever get the opportunity to get one back as quickly as like that JT will have this opportunity this week. Mm. You know, losing in a playoff and thinking, oh my god, I wish I could just have that again. And I think the course will be playing differently, but yeah, he is playing the same course, so I think he will definitely be looking to get one back. I always pick Tiger whenever he turns up, but I mean, winning cold, I guess. He might need a bit of a couple warm-up events, but I can't not pick Tiger because I just want it so bad.
Love it.
And who else could I pick? I like Victor Hovland as well. I reckon he'd get it done.
Yeah, awesome. Tidy picks. Tidy picks. All right, so that's everything to do with the upcoming tournament. So appreciate the tips there. Hopefully everyone else gets a bit of a kick out of that and can jump into this week's Golf Days Australia tipping competition. We also had the GDA Tour as well. So who was it? The one, sorry, going back to the tips. Sorry, for the GDA Tour, it jackpotted. So no one picked Colin Morikawa. A few had picked JT, including myself.
Picked JT. Someone had Hovland as well. Obviously those people miss out and they're jackpots.
Yeah, that does. And the winner from the tipping competition was David Desizer.
I won.
You were dead.
Isn't it the highest score?
Absolutely not. And Wooden Spoon doesn't even get anything in return anyway. So you don't get your $5 back, mate, or your dollar back.
I had Ricky Fowler, a top 20 result, and still come dead last by a million. It's great.
That's impressive. That's a good start.
Justin Rose ended up shooting 10 over. That killed me.
But yeah, so then it was Sue, Tate, and myself coming in, a tie for second position as well. So we get a bit of coin out of that one. So I'll add that to the ticker. Thanks, Matt. I love taking money from you. But moving on, we have a massive announcement to make. We can announce that we now have our very first official sponsor of the Golf Days Australia podcast. We spotted Anthony Dinty of Dint Putters in our group. So decided to reach out to him and see if we can't support each other a bit. And yeah, he's gladly jumped on board and thrown out a sponsorship for our podcast. So I interviewed Anthony early this week. So let's jump over to that and have a listen. But after that, we'll actually get to announcing a bit of a competition that we'll run off the back of it. So let's hear about the interview with Anthony from earlier this week. G'day, folks, and got a bit of an exciting announcement for you guys. We are partnering with an Australian-owned and run golf company, Dint Putters. Now, they are our first official sponsor of the Golf Days Australia podcast, and we'll be running a bit of a competition to mark the occasion, so stay tuned at the end of this interview. But along with me this evening is Anthony Dinty of Dint Putters. Welcome, mate. How are you?
Very good, Steve. How are you?
Yeah, great doing well, mate. Good, good. So we spotted Anthony as one of our Golf Days Australia group members, and we reached out to see if we could support each other in some way. And lo and behold, we can now announce our first official sponsor of the Golf Days Australia podcast, Dint Putters. So, yeah, great to have you on board, mate. Thank you very much for supporting what we're doing here. So maybe just to give the listeners and our members a bit of a background into yourself and into the family business. So the Dinty family has been in business for a long while. Give us a bit of background. Tell us, when did it all begin and what's been the evolution over the decades?
Okay, well, Steve, it hasn't always been a golf business. My grandfather started off as an apprentice in early 1920s in a foundry in Sydney. And it was during coming into the Depression. And his boss came up to him one day and said, you know, there's not as much work anymore. You'll have to take a few days, you know, work a few days less than what you are. And my grandfather then turned to him and said, you know what, I'm going to go out on my own. So he left that business and started his own. In 1930, he established his first foundry called J.A. Wow. Dinty. Mm. And he it was quite interesting because he just went out on his own during the toughest times. And it's very similar to what's going on at the moment in the COVID crisis. And then following from there, my late father went into the business, quite a few years later. And then from there, my brother and myself followed into the family business, third generation. So it's been fantastic.
Great. So I suppose some of the listeners may have perked their ears up for a sec, you know, with that name Dint. So when did the passion for engineering combine with the love of golf?
All right. Well, I've always had passion for both. Engineering from a young age, I was always very keen at school. I was doing metalwork and woodwork and yep. loved that, and always handy around, you know, the house and helping things and manufacturing and designing stuff. And golf, I started when I was probably 12 or 13 years old with some mates. We used to play on weekends at Gordon Golf Club in North Tarramurra, and we used to love it. And then, and actually, I didn't. At the beginning, I didn't enjoy golf, but I thought it's the only way to hang around with my mates. So, and I fell in love with it after that. And then we were looking at joining a club to try and improve our golf. And I joined Monash at the age of 17. Never looked back. I've been there now 44 years. And over that 44 years, I wanted to give back to the community. I was on the board for 7, and 4 of those years I was president. And it's fantastic. Love the club.
Our listeners would probably know the Dint name from around the golf courses, because you've had in the business as it sort of evolved. There's a lot around you know, manufacturing equipment around the golf course, and not necessarily what's now in your control around the Dint Putters as well. So yes, it was part of that business, and you've branched off and started the Dint Putters side. Is that right?
Yeah, well, we started the Dimp Putters, the first after my late father passed away in 1985. My brother and myself, Michael, my brother, and we came up with our first putter, which was called the Classic. And from there, we produced, it was close to 10 different designs. And the probably a few of them, one was the Augustan, the Knight, and then there was a CP1, which we designed with Craig Parry, and he won a few tournaments with it.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so it's pretty rich in history there, which is it's great. So I'm aware you've designed and developed your own putter fairly recently and put that out on the market, the Phoenix. So maybe give us a bit of an insight. What's the process from initial concept to having the final product rolling putts in on the green?
Okay, well, I'll just tell a little story. 2 years ago, on the way home from gym, I had a massive heart attack when I arrived in my garage, and thank God my daughter was home, and I was rushed to St. Vincent's Hospital, and had three stents put in, and when I was in intensive care for 3 days, I thought to myself, life's too short, and decided to focus entirely on Dimp Putters. And I more or less semi-retired. My two nephews who took over the greenkeeping side, and they've done a phenomenal job, you know, going forward with all the cups and everything else. And so with the putters, I started off with the, first of all, the design of it. And part of what happened to me, if you look down at the putter, you'll notice it's a shape of a heart, and the name of it being the Phoenix from the ashes. So that's how it started. And then, so what I did, I just designed it. I then did some drawings, and then we do a CAD drawing. So because the difference between these putters and what we did in the past, today's putters, and especially the bespoke putters that you see coming in from all over the world, are machine milled, which is a more precise way of making golf putters today. You've got the technology that just gives it a superb finish.
Yeah, nice. And you've also got in the design phase another putter coming up.
Well, I actually finished the CAD drawings today, Steve.
Oh, and, wow.
Hopefully we'll start doing the prototypes in the next few weeks. Yep. And hopefully the putter will be ready to be released within the next 2 months.
Oh wow, that's really cool. I mean, you heard it here first, guys. We've got one another one coming out from Dimp Putters very soon. So, yeah, great to hear that. You've been in the industry for a long time now. Any curly stories you've got from around the traps?
Well, probably when we first started and we made the Classic putter, it was a big thing around the industry, especially with, you know, Australian made, and Greg Norman was the flavour of the year a few years in, and the dollar was very low, and we had an article written up about us in the Financial Review, and Bob Hawke happened to read the article, and he was a mad keen golfer and the Prime Minister at the time. And he asked if he could get one, which he did, and he loved it, and then ended up giving it to dignitaries all over the world as an Australian gift.
Oh, wow.
And probably, yeah, so he gave it to George Bush at the Chogham Conference, and even Dan Quayle got one, and then he ended up giving it to a lot of dignitaries, prime ministers and presidents all over the world, which was a fantastic thing for us.
Yeah, great. That's fantastic. Yeah. That getting around the global scene. So where can our listeners and our members go to find you online?
Well, it's fantastic to have an online business through our website, dimpputters.com.au, and that has made it very easy for our customers to buy straight online.
Very, very good. So special Golf Days Australia members competition we're going to run to mark this occasion. You know, Dimp Putters and Anthony has donated one of their limited edition Australian designed and made Phoenix putters. So we're going to run a bit of a competition through our Facebook group to help mark the occasion. So
We're going to run a like, share, and tag competition. To go into the draw, all you have to do is jump into our Facebook group, Golf Days Australia-Advice and Discussion, like and share the competition post. Then you got to tag a mate who can't putt and could do with a new Phoenix putter. So I'm looking forward to seeing a few people get their sledges in on their mates. That'll be fun to watch. But for every mate tagged, you'll also get an extra entry into the draw too. So that's an important one, guys. The competition will run for a couple of weeks. So plenty of time to get the names in there, but get in quick and put and tag as many mates as you know. And we'll announce the winner on our podcast in a couple of weeks' time. So, yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to seeing a few people tag some mates in there. I'm actually going to tag a few mates who I know can't putt at the moment. So that'll be
– no one tags me, mate.
Not a problem. Well, thank you so much for supporting what we're doing here at Golf Days Australia and getting on board as our first official sponsor. We really appreciate having you on board, and I'm glad that we can also help support an Australian-owned company with such a rich family history in this country. So, yeah, great to have you on board, and welcome to the Golf Days Australia family.
Thanks very much, Stephen. It's great to be involved.
All right, how was that, guys? Big news, our first official sponsor.
That's very, awesome, very mate. That's really, really good to have him on board. So excited for that, and excited to give away one of his amazing putters as well.
Yeah, so a little bit of a spoiler there. So we're going to run a competition for the next couple of weeks in the Golf Days Australia Advice and Discussion group. So our group members can enter the competition. So keep an eye out for our post for this competition. So it'll be a like, share, and tag competition. Now, given that it's Dint Putters, he's given us a putter to give away. So it's a limited edition Phoenix putter. Retails for $350. So a decent figure there. What we want you to do is like and share our post, of course, but I want you to tag a mate who can't putt and needs a good putter. I can't wait to see some of the comments in there. Nate, I'm going to tag you anyway. I've got footage of you.
Hey, putting's the only thing I can do.
Yeah, well, not by the footage I have. But yes, I'm looking forward to handing this putter out to one of our lucky members in a couple of weeks' time. So what we'll do is, run the competition for a couple of weeks. The post will be up there in the announcements, hopefully in the next 24 hours. And like, share, tag a mate in it. Get your mates to tag mates in it. They'll probably tag you back and say you can't putt. And every mate you tag, you'll get an extra entry into the draw to win a Phoenix putter. And we'll draw that out in our podcast in a couple of weeks' time. So get amongst it, guys.
That's insane. How much did you say they're worth?
$350, mate.
$350, handmade, Australian-made, handcrafted. That's insane. A beautiful looking putter as well. So, and limited edition. So, how good's that? Like, share, and tag, and you can win yourself a brand new handmade Australian putter.
Yep,
fantastic. Could be your most commented on post of the year, right there.
Oh, I'd love for that to be the most commented post. I reckon there's going to be a few out there that are keen to tag their mates that can't putt. So. Looking forward to seeing what's happening there. But guys, if you're interested, also jump over to Dint Putters as well. Give their page a like and help them grow in the social media side of things as well. So looking forward to things to come there. We've also got a bit of an announcement hopefully coming very soon in the sponsorship side, Nate.
Yeah, merchandise sponsor. So we're just finalising that at the moment, and hopefully we'll be able to announce that next week, I'm hoping. Fingers crossed everything goes well. But exciting news for us, and great to have these guys on board and growing Golf Days Australia and our podcast.
Fantastic. I love it. Paul, guys, thanks for joining us again this week. Amy, any last words?
I'll see everyone at my golf day. Don't forget the early bird special.
Fantastic. And Nate?
Mate, you know what's coming. It's all about the beefcake this week. Hopefully him and Brooks in the final pairing on Sunday would be everybody's dream. So let's go beefcake.
Brilliant. And take it easy, guys, and we'll see you next time on the Golf Days Australia podcast.
We're through.
three golf tragics were weekend hackers, and we love the game of golf. And I think that's
I showed you guys that on the weekend.
Yes, you did. We'll get to that shortly.